We're going to begin there in verse 1 and just look at a few things concerning the wise men. And verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So they headed on this journey. They started when Jesus was born. According to verse 1. They started when Jesus was born. Now, we're going to see that they were on a long journey. And we also notice here in verse 2, we notice that they came to Jerusalem. In verse 2, we ask the question, why did they look for him in Jerusalem? They seem to be men who knew somewhat about the Scripture and the Messiah. And so, verse 2 says, "Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So the reason, the answer is, they were looking for the King of the Jews. Gerald? I don't know for sure how much you could walk in those days or ride a horse, I guess, or ride a cart. So a day's journey would be quite a distance for them. A day's journey for us can cover a lot of miles because we have our vehicles. But back then, they had their carts that were pulled by horses or mules. They rode mules. They walked. So a day's journey would be a long time. Yes, Phil. About 20 miles. That's what I've heard, too. Around 20 miles was the average that you could make in a day's journey. Okay, let's move on here. They were looking for the King of the Jews. They were probably familiar with Genesis 49 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So they were looking for the King of the Jews. So why wouldn't they go to Jerusalem where the king would be? So they come to Jerusalem. And then we notice in verse 2 that they saw his star. Number 3 there in your notes, they saw his star. They must have been familiar with Numbers 24:17. And with hearing this statement in Numbers 24 and verse 17. Getting the right chapter here. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star," capital S, "out of Jacob, and a scepter," capital S, "shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth." So they were familiar, apparently, with the teaching that this unusual star would appear. These men, they must have been looking for the Messiah because of what we read in the Scripture and how they came and what they came to worship him, it tells us. So they must have been looking for the Messiah because they came to worship him. Now we find out in verses 3 through 6, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so they were familiar, these scribes and Pharisees, with the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, that Christ was, the Messiah was to come and be born in Bethlehem. Herod was not happy. He was not happy to hear the wise men. He was a very wicked man. If you do any study about the Herods, you find that this Herod was a wicked man. He ruled with a strong arm. He would not be rivaled. There was nobody going to come to be declared king but him. And he didn't ask the chief priests and scribes, didn't ask them where Christ was to be born. He demanded of them where Christ. He demanded where Christ should be born. That's the kind of a man that he was. He was very cruel. And if they would have refused to give him an answer, they would have been put to death under Herod. They would have been sorely punished, at least. And he demanded where Christ should be born. And didn't take them very much research to come up with the answer. They found to find out. They knew it was Bethlehem, these scribes and Pharisees. Thou Bethlehem, the land of Judah, they said in verse 6, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so we notice then in the next two verses, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Herod had no desire to worship the Christ child. It was only a play to try to destroy him. When you read the whole chapter, that comes out very clearly. But notice he wanted to know the exact time the star appeared. And this would tell him how old the baby would be. Because if he could, that's what it says in verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now the east is where they are from. They didn't see the star in the east, they saw it in the west. They were from the east. They saw his star in the east. And that's where they saw it. And that comes out again here in verse 9. But we notice here in verse 8 that he told the wise men to search for a young child. A young child. So, a young child. The time, the exact time the star appeared, he wanted to know that because that's when this child would have been born. And so he told the wise men not to search for a baby. Search for a young child, not a baby. And then he lied to the wise men by telling them he wanted to worship the child. And lying was not out of character for him at all. He was a ruthless man, wicked, and very destructive. And so he says, Bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. That was only so he could find out where the child was and he could destroy him. That comes out on further down. And then we notice here in verse 9 10, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east. You see, they were from the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And so notice, they come, verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So the wise men, number 6 there in the notes, the wise men see the star again after leaving Herod. And apparently they saw it in the east and came to Jerusalem. It was important that they did because of what? Because of prophecy. They needed to come to Jerusalem. Herod needed to know about this, even though he would seek to destroy the child, because we have prophecy. And we can look at that. On down it tells us that they're going to flee to Egypt to get away from the destruction. God is going to warn them, and they're going to flee to Egypt with the child to keep him from being destroyed, Jesus from being destroyed by Herod. And that was prophesied in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. It was prophesied that he would flee to Egypt. And then if you look in verse 18, it says, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. And that is a prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15, where it was prophesied that this would happen. And so it was very necessary for the wise men to go to Jerusalem and for Herod to see this. And therefore, he would seek to destroy the child, and he would, in his effort to destroy the Christ child, he would slay all the children, and Rachel would weep for her children. Because they're not just like it was prophesied. So it is very important that they did come through Jerusalem and fulfill prophecy. But the star then, we says it came in verse 9 and stood over where the young child, not the baby, the young child was. So the star went before them and stood over the place. Notice where the young child was, not the manger, not the stable, the place where the young child was. Now, we also notice here in these next verses, it says, and when they were come into the stable, no, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so we notice here the wise men found him, number 7 there, they found him in a house, not a stable, in a manger, lying in a manger. They didn't find him there. Mary and Joseph must have stayed in Bethlehem because of, why do you think they would stay there? It might have been because they were poor, we might say, and they didn't have the money to go back to Nazareth. But I believe there's a different reason why they stayed there in Bethlehem. That's a good answer. It doesn't say that God told them to stay, but from all the other appearances in this chapter of how God is leading them, it appears to me that they probably stayed in Bethlehem because of God's leading. That's probably why they stayed there, because God had not given them instruction to leave as of yet. They were following God's leading all the way. They were listening to the Lord, and the Lord had been speaking to Joseph, speaking to Mary, as we see in other scriptures. And so very possibly Mary and Joseph must have stayed in Bethlehem because of God's leading. It is true that they weren't very wealthy because of the offering, the sacrifice that they make. is the two turtle doves instead of the lamb. Certainly they would not stay in a stable as soon as suitable accommodations opened up, because if you remember, the reason that there was no room in the inn was because everybody had to come back to their hometown to register for the taxing, and so all of the places to stay were filled up when Mary and Joseph got there. The only place they had was the stable, but that was very fitting. For the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, to be born in the stable, the Lamb of God, it's very fitting that he would be born there, but that's the reason there wasn't any room. And so as soon as people have registered and moved back and headed back to their hometowns, there would be places that would open up. And so Mary and Joseph would be in a place. The wise men fell down and worshiped him. Their gifts had great significance that they brought. Gold represented deity, a king. Frankincense represented a sinless sacrifice. And myrrh represented suffering and death. If you study those items, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there's a lot more that could be said about them. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, 39 and 40, if you just turn back there to John, just a few pages on back to chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Myrrh was associated with death, and there had to be more than three wise men who came. Three wise men carrying this gold, frankincense, and myrrh would probably not have made that long journey and arrived safely without being robbed and beaten and possibly lose their lives for what they were carrying, the treasures that they had. And they would never have survived the long journey without being robbed. And they would not have caused the excitement in Jerusalem, just three men coming in. They're, according to Isaiah chapter 60. Now, Isaiah chapter 60 is shooting out to the future and to the end. But it brings in, as prophecy does so often, prophecy shoots through a line of things and brings you up to the end. Many times in prophecy, we will hit, so to speak, mountain peaks, that the top of the mountains of prophecy, until we come to the end. And that's kind of what happens here in Isaiah 60. We are talking about the glory of the New Jerusalem and what will take place there. And he says in verse 1 of Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And if you drop down to verse 5, "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." And as it's shooting through the line of prophecy, it says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Now, why doesn't it say here about the myrrh? Because this time when Jesus comes, he will not come to die. He will come to reign. He has already made the sacrifice for our sins. And so that Old Testament prophecy shoots through the line of the multitude of camels coming. There must have been a great number of wise men who came. And it created quite a stir in Jerusalem. Enough that Herod was excited, "What is going on here?" And they're looking for the king of the Jews. That's me. Why are they, what's happening here? Somebody going to take over? And so he goes into his investigation with them. So we notice then in the next verse here, it says in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So these wise men were warned of God not to return to Herod. They went back home another way. Sometimes we are deterred on life's way. So maybe we should remember the wise men. Sometimes things don't just work out the way we think they should, and we are deterred. Well, we need to remember the wise men in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So, let's look at these verses, Isaiah 43, verse 2. I know this is referring to the Jews, but it also, the Bible says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, our understanding. They're in samples for us. And he says in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And so it reminds us of our Lord is always there. We may get detoured in life and not work just the way like we think, but the Lord is always there. And let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 verse 1 says this, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. There isn't a person in this room that God doesn't know every little fact and detail of our lives. We may hide things from others, but we don't hide it from God. He knows it all. Searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising, Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows when I went to sleep last night. He knows when I got up this morning. And He knows every thought that I have thought in my mind throughout that time, from when I, even what I dreamed. He knows it all. Everything. Thou compassest, verse 3, my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. I don't understand how God can do that. I don't understand how God can know what every one of us are thinking all at once here tonight, what we just thought. He knows it all. I don't understand how He can do that. It's high above me, but that's what He does. Whither shall I go, verse 7, from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. I can't get out of His presence. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. In other words, I can try to hide things from God, the darkness, but I can't do it. He sees right through the darkness. He knows everything. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, verse 12, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I know in the military we had the night vision things, you know, you could try to see after dark, and it worked somewhat, but God doesn't need night vision equipment. He can see in the night just like in the light. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. A lot of things take us by surprise, but nothing takes him by surprise. And sometimes when we get all bent out of shape because of the way things happen, we need to remember that God understands and that he's working. And he said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said in Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. That's a promise he made. I am with you always. God will never leave us nor forsake us. So when the life throws us a curve, let us just remember the wise men. Going to go another way. Maybe we need to realize that God is working to move us in a different direction. Number 9 here, we find in this next verses, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there thou until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's one of the reasons why I believe they stayed in Bethlehem, because he says for them to stay in Egypt until he brings word. They hadn't heard any word to leave Bethlehem at this point, apparently. They were waiting on the Lord. It's a real lesson for us to learn to wait upon the Lord. So Joseph is warned by God that Herod would seek the child's life. He's told to flee to Egypt. Egypt always in the Bible has been a type of the world. So not everything in the world is wrong, and we can use it to our advantage. It says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Hosea 11:1. So, the gifts of the wise men that they gave them, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, would be worth quite a bit. And it would provide the funds for Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. God never calls without supplying the need. And he did. So I was thinking about that, how important it is for me to give my tithe and offering, faith promise, for the work of the Lord. Because God uses it to accomplish his work. Well, Herod isn't very happy with this. He's not very happy with them having to flee to Egypt. He's exceeding wroth. Gets very, very upset. Joseph, warned by God, number 10 there, Herod is exceeding wroth because the wise men did not return. He's so wicked that he has all the children, male and female, from 2 years old and under, killed. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He was exceeding wroth. And he sent forth to slew all the children. He was taking that these wise men, following the direction of God, were mocking him. Kind of sounds like today in some of the leadership we have today. They think that because we believe the way we believe, that we're mocking them. We take a stand against abortion. We take a stand against homosexuality. And they take it as we're mocking them. We're just simply following the Word of God and what God has said. So he orders all the children that were from 2 years old and under. Now he does that according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So this was done according to the time he had diligently inquired from the wise men. Therefore, Jesus would probably have been between 1 and 2 years old when the wise men came. Probably between 1 and 2. Because if Jesus had been 2 years old, according to that time that the star appeared, Herod would have bumped it up even further. So it's probably that he was around a year old when this took place. And it took the wise men close to a year to make this journey. Maybe a little less than that. Maybe it was 8 months. Maybe that's how old he was. But he was somewhere probably between at least 6 months to 2 years old. I put it between 1 and 2 years old when the wise men came. It was a long journey when they came from the east. So they didn't come to the stable. They didn't see, as so many of the pictures that we see of the manger scene, they have the shepherds there, which they were there, and they have the wise men there, and they have just three, and they're at the manger, but that's not according to the scripture. They were not there. They came to the house where the young child was, and they came much later. They started their long journey when Jesus was born, and Jesus is not going to stay in that stable. Joseph and Mary are not going to keep him there any longer than they have to. They're going to get him into a house. They were only in the stable because there was no room, no place else to go. And Mary was great with child, and she had to deliver, and they had to get her in someplace, and that's all they had. Well, these men, why were they wise men? Well, I believe they were wise men, number 11 there, because they searched for Jesus. They searched for Jesus. And this is a promise that the Lord told us to search the scriptures there in John chapter 5 and verse 39. But back in Jeremiah, there's a promise made there in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. He said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That's the problem with a lot of people, do not search with all their heart. They want just what God can give them, but to really want all that God has for them, that might mean change my lifestyle. That might mean do things differently. Well, not that far. Not that far. Just far enough to give me what I want. Well, that isn't coming with your heart. That isn't coming with your heart. And he said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me for me with all your heart." They were wise because they searched for Jesus. And I would assume that it was from their heart because they made a very sacrificial, long journey. They obeyed God instead of the king. They obeyed God instead of the king. That's what the disciples said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. They said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And there are many people today that are around the world that are martyred, being martyred, because they follow that, to obey God rather than men. We have it very easy here in America because we live in what has been a Christian nation, and we're reaping the benefits of that. And it may change as time goes on and more of the liberal view and anti-God view takes hold in this country. It may be that we will also find ourselves having to face persecution and martyrdom. But praise God for the country that we live in and we have the freedoms that we have. They obeyed God instead of the king, and they went another way back home. They were willing to sacrifice. This was a long, long journey. A long journey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, thinking about sacrifice, verse 11, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe on the Lord, when we trust Him as our Savior, we're passed from death unto life. The foundation is laid. We're saved. Now the Bible says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," so there's some building on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We shouldn't just get saved and then never grow, never become more mature in the Lord, never grow up in Christ. We need to do some building. And the building here upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. There's six categories that are given here: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's. Notice the every man's. Not anybody going to escape this. Work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's the judgment seat of Christ from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that our God is a consuming fire. "It shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now, if we put gold, silver, and precious stones to the fire, why, we're not going to burn them up. They will survive the fire, and they will be made stronger, purer. But if we put the wood, hay, and stubble to the fire, well, stubble is going to burn up really fast. Hay, a little bit not quite as fast, but it's going to burn fast. Wood, it'll take a little longer to burn. So when you look at these things and the order that they appear, it appears that the wood, hay, and the stubble is not so good a building upon that foundation. The gold, silver, and precious stones is better building the things we should. And when it's put to the test, it quickly burns up if it's wood, hay, and stubble. And he says in verse 14, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." Not salvation, reward. We have a 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Bible speaks of at least 5 crowns that can be won for faithful service. "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." Loss of what? The reward. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so the point is that we need to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord too, and present the gold, silver, and precious stones in our works and the things that we do for Him and how we live and do the things that are pleasing to Him. Well, as I was meditating on this, the wise men, I wondered who they were. Just who were these wise men, and how did they know what they knew? Well, the book of Genesis, chapter 25, clear back there in Abraham's day, kind of gives us a picture of just maybe who these wise men were. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, 25, pardon me, verses 1 through 8, it says, Genesis 25, 1 through 8, "Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian." Remember Midian appearing there in Isaiah 60? "And Ishbak and Shua and Jokshan with Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Latushim and Lahumim. And we see the some of the Gentile thing coming out here. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldeah, all these were children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And so it appears to me that maybe Abraham's descendants, who were offspring of his concubines, maybe that they were Abraham's descendants, who were offspring of his concubines, that he sent to the east. So the last thing there in your notes, what I put there is Abraham's descendants, who were offspring of his concubines, that he sent to the east. Anyone can be used of God. Anyone can be used of God. Very possibly this is who they were. That's why they knew what they knew, because they had been with Abraham. And he sent them off, all of the ones that were born, the sons of his concubines, verse 6 there. He sent them eastward into the east country. And so it's very possibly they were the ones who came. And they knew, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for his star. And it just says to us that anyone can be used of God if we will look to him and seek the Lord with all our heart, determined to sacrifice, just like they did, to search, to follow the Lord, and not the world, sacrifice and live for the Lord. And we too will find the Lord to be real to us, just like those wise men found the babe, the young child. They came to the young child, and they saw him, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when we are willing to make the sacrifice, it isn't easy to serve God. I've told you this before. I always remember it. It sticks out in my mind about when I went to Bible college and I got in the dorm room. I was single when I went to Bible college, and this guy come in our dorm and he jumped up on the bed and he bounced up and down and he said, "I've finally made it to heaven." 2 weeks later, he went home. He found out that all the studying and work, it was a lot of work. It wasn't easy. And it isn't easy to serve the Lord. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It isn't easy to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It isn't easy to go to visitation. It isn't easy to do all the things that we do. It isn't easy to witness. It isn't easy to live for Christ. It takes sacrifice. But when we're willing, then we find that the Lord becomes real in our life, just like with the wise men. Ah, those are some of my meditations on the wise men. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God, so clear and plain to guide us. How you love us. And how when things don't just go exactly the way we think they should, help us to realize that you are in control and that you can bring every situation around and help us in our time of need. But we can't play games with you. We can't hold things back and hide things from you. You see everything. You know it all. And we need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. And then you'll bless us. You'll lead us through, and you'll show us the path to take. Thank you for your word to guide us. Thank you for giving us the Bible to teach us these things. and to help us to see what we need to see. If there's anyone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, help them to get it settled tonight before it's too late. And maybe there's some here tonight who know the Lord, but they haven't been like these wise men. They haven't been willing to really search. They haven't been really determined to follow your word no matter what. They haven't been determined really to sacrifice. Help them to determine to be more for you in the day and time we live. We thank you. We love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.